Once upon a time, in a galaxy far, far away, Jaesu and Keisu interviewed some pretty cool people. Here's one of those interviews now.
All right, this is Jaesu. I'm here at the Hamilton Film Expo, and I'm here with actor Sean Sullivan. Nice to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you, too.
Now, I just wanted to ask you a few questions. When was it you decided you wanted to be an actor for a living?
Oh, wow. Well, my mom was a stage actress, and all the kids sort of tried it, but it was probably my late teens I decided I really wanted to do it and have basically stuck with that ever since.
First role?
First role.
Yeah.
Wow. On screen or on stage?
How about either?
Okay. First role on screen was a role that does not exist in the film anymore. It was in League of Eagles.
Okay.
And the very first time I was ever on camera, I had a scene with Deborah Winger, Daryl Hannah, and Robert Redford, being directed by Ivan Reitman.
Oh, wow.
And I stunk so badly, the scene does not exist in the movie. I still get residuals.
Okay.
It doesn't exist. But it got me my Screen Actors Guild card. The first play, well, that would probably be like grade 5.
Okay.
And I played King Syntax.
Oh, nice.
In a play about the English language.
Cool. My first play, for some reason, was a rooster for Santa Claus. I don't know why Santa had a rooster, but...
I don't know, but you were it.
Yeah, I was it. Yeah. Now, I was looking through your IMDb, and I've seen a lot of stuff you've been in, actually.
Oh.
So if I could ask you a couple of questions about some of your roles. I guess, I was looking at your pictures earlier. You were Phil in Wayne's World.
I was indeed.
And you were in that iconic scene in the car.
I know, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, like, how was it doing that scene?
It was amazing, because when I got the script and saw that that's what we were doing, because literally a year earlier, I was probably driving around in my beat-up Vega with my brother singing to Bohemian Rhapsody in the car, and like, trying to get all the lyrics right and stuff, and then seeing the scene, it was just like, that's impossible. But it was great. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning when we finally filmed that in L.A., which was doubling for Aurora, Illinois, which was actually Scarborough.
Right, you know, right.
Where Mike grew up.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Mike was, you know, Mike is just a great guy. I also worked with him in 54.
That's right, yeah.
A few years later, but just the easiest guy to work with. You know, bring a guitar. We bring guitars to set and just hang out. And,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but a real genuine kind of guy.
Now, I know that movie was big. Did people come up to you all the time and quote lines from it and stuff like that?
Occasionally, but I never really looked as Phil as I did when I was Phil. I did have some people, and it was weird. I know, it was weird. I was in like the Bruce Peninsula, going to someone's cottage and checking out at a little grocery store. Someone went, "You're Phil!" It was like,
yay.
Wow, where'd that come from?
That's exciting.
Wow. But when I used to have this really great leather bomber jacket that was one of the perks from doing the movie.
Okay.
But I wore it like twice because it kind of got too... It was like wearing a billboard.
Okay.
But I gave it to my nephew who was a total fan of the movie. So,
oh, that's cool.
So that was cool. Yeah.
And I also remember your Quantum Leap episode. I was a big fan of that show. Yeah. I actually just rewatched it recently too. What's it like going into a episodic TV series and just doing that?
It's strange because they've all been working together, you know, for years, like in that case. Scott, why can't I think of his last name? Played the lead.
Oh, Bakula.
Scott Bakula, of course. It's been a while. And Dean Stockwell.
Yeah.
Scott was so easygoing, and it's like all the crew loved him. It's like he would help move camera equipment.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he's the star of the show, and he would just like, you know, he was just like the easiest guy to work with.
That's cool.
But it was an intense set because they were really serious about what they were doing. I mean, you know, being a fan, you know. I mean, and I'd wanted to do the series for a while,
right.
So it was kind of a big deal at the time.
That's cool. Yeah, I love that show. Probably my favorite show of all time, I would say.
How cool is that?
Yeah, definitely.
And about the same time I did a Babylon 5.
Yeah, remember that one, too.
And I remember, because I grew up about the same time as Billy Mumy, who played the Mimbari priest. When he was a kid, he was like on, well, he was on Lost in Space.
Yeah.
He was, did Twilight Zone episodes. And I remember as a kid just going, I want Billy Mumy's career.
Yeah.
But of course, after Lost in Space, he you know, didn't work for a long time in the industry.
Yeah.
And I told him when we started working together, because we were both playing Mimbari priests, and I said, you know, you had the life I wanted when I was 12. And he said, yeah, I've heard that a lot. But he said, but, you know, when you stop being like the cute little kid, then you usually have that period of like no one knows what to do with you.
Right.
But that was very cool as well.
Cool.
And 3 hours of makeup to be turned into a Mimbari priest.
Nice.
I love that show. It was a great show.
It was really cool.
I know. I really liked it, too.
Yeah. Now, we're all big Back to the Future fans, and I know we were in part 3.
Yeah.
And Danielle actually had a few questions for you about that.
On here.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I love it. So, seeing as you're in part 3 and Buford's gang,
yep.
Did you have to ride the horses?
Yep.
Did you have to train? What was that like?
I had ridden. Of course, I lied and said I rode all the time in the audition.
Yeah.
And I hadn't probably ridden in about 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
But we had about 3 days of training with the Wranglers and with my stunt double, who did some of the long, like really long runs. But we had to do some of the fast turns and stuff where they, you know, where they could see our faces. So we did a lot of riding. In fact, I learned how to actually get my feet all the way up on the saddle so I could sort of work my knees, because it'd be like 8 hours in the saddle, which is, and your knees are being pushed out the whole time.
Yeah.
And so learning these secrets that the Wranglers had of, and the, you know, going how do you make yourself comfortable on a horse for 8 hours. But I got my riding got really good really fast because it had to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was sort of like
saying lots of
riding right, and you know, riding down the main street and then doing a hard turn and coming back up and just going. But the horse initially knew, because horses are really smart, that I didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, okay.
And then after about 3 days, the horse said, okay, now you kind of know what you're doing, so I'll pay attention to you. So once you work out a relationship, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I was also wondering, do you have any memorabilia, or are you involved in any of the events around the movie, like being the Year of the Future and all that?
Yeah. No, I mean, what do I still have?
Like props from the set, or like costume stuff, or pictures?
Yeah. Oh, no, I've got some great pictures. Because my stunt double would do photos, which was really cool, because I had these black and whites of like us riding up the street, and you can just sort of see the camera car, because it was, you know, pulling away as we were riding up the street. And actually, because one of the shots is I'm firing a gun, my Butthead gang member next to me, I don't know if it was that take or not, but I fired the gun too close to his ear.
Oh, okay.
And we finished and came around the turn, and he had his shoulder up to his ear, and it's like, what's going on? And he said the gun was just like right next to my ear. And it's like, I've never felt so bad. But it was a great, I mean, because it was weeks and weeks, because this was the first time they were doing the technology of the two Michael J. Foxes talking to each other. So they might get like 2 shots in a night sometimes. So what was supposed to be like 6 weeks turned into 10.
And filming, I think.
And we were all there and just sort of living in Sonora, California. In fact, one of the Wranglers on one sort of party night rode a horse into the hotel.
Okay.
And rode around.
That's cool.
But it was, it was sort of, you know, it's like being in a Western. It was like everything's a little Wild West.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I got one final one for me. So the classic Back to the Future question, if you could travel somewhere, any era of time with anyone, what would you do and why?
That's actually easy for me because, the birth of film, I mean, the silent era, there was such freedom. I've read things about like Buster Keaton saying, I get an idea and get on a, like a Sunday morning and call up my three friends and say, I got this idea, let's go shoot it. And they go film it, and 2 weeks later, it would be playing in movie theaters.
Okay. Wow.
And it could work this way. Plus, there was no income tax.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people got rich in a big hurry, and I just loved the silent films. I just thought it was the industry was great, and just the 20s was kind of a crazy, wonderful time. So I think, yeah, that's probably me.
I like that.
Cool. Well, we certainly appreciate your time today. It was a great meeting, and
thanks, Jack.
You know, continued success.
Great body work.
Cheers.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.